When you don't have assets and you just have an hourly wage, you're getting killed by inflation. And I just want to give a chance to fight back.
Where did this intersection between small business come to meet Bitcoin and help you guys have this transformation?
Sure. I like to start by...
Mike Coffey and Julie Denton Price runs a company called Blue Coton, a custom apparel company in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Known for innovation, they launched a Bitcoin benefits program empowering employees against inflation.
My wife went to get her hair done. Next to her, she hears this lady that she doesn't know, and this lady is talking about this company that she works for. I work for this company called Blue Cotton. They give Bitcoin to their employees, and I was actually going to retire. Once they started this Bitcoin, she just said, I'm not going to leave until I get my share.
We are trying to teach people forward thinking, delayed gratification.
What other impact has Bitcoin had on your lives?
Since doing this, I've met...
What's up, guys? Welcome to this episode of Unemployable. This episode was recorded from behind my laptop because we turned up at the studio, all set to go with a full panel, and we had a computer failure, so we had to resort to Zoom. But it is an awesome interview with Mike and Julie. These guys are from Kentucky in the United States. I heard them interviewed on Anthony Pompliano's podcast in the US, an amazing story of a business with 130 employees who integrated Bitcoin into the heart and soul of their business. And they had some incredible, unexpected results when they did that and how it impacted staff turnover, churn, culture, and so much more. It's a really interesting interview that gives everybody who is in business a very unique insight into how Bitcoin can be used to just improve your business, which is really interesting. So with that said, I hope you enjoy the pod. It was certainly good vibes by the end of it. I know you're going to love it. Like, subscribe, and comment. And I look forward to seeing you on the other side. What's up, guys? Welcome to this episode of Unemployable. We are back to the basic Zoom recording here because we had a bit of a technical issue this morning. Turned up in the studio and all our computers have died. So these guys have been very, very flexible and kind to switch over from our usual set. Welcome to the podcast, guys. How are you both doing? You're coming in from Kentucky, I believe.
Kentucky in the United States. We're doing great, Adam. Thanks a lot for having us.
So, guys, this is Mike and Julie. They run a company out of the US called Blue Coton. And let's start this story because I was first introduced to you guys by the Pomp podcast. I've been following Pomp for years. Those of you who are not Bitcoiners and have no idea who we're talking about, Anthony Pompliano, one of the most high-profile voices, I suppose, in the Bitcoin world, had you guys on. I was listening from the other side of the world and thought, oh my God, this is such an epic story. We have to bring this to the Unemployable community. So guys, kick us off. Where did this whole journey, this intersection between traditional small business come to meet Bitcoin and help you guys like have this transformation that you've had in your business that we're going to learn about?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty unique application of this really great technology, Bitcoin, that so many of us have come to believe in and trust and love, and a way to really connect it to just like a common person that maybe doesn't have all that understanding. So I'm a big Bitcoiner, been a Bitcoiner for a long time, and I'm like you, I've listened to Pomp and seems like a thousand other podcasts. And in 2020, during the pandemic, we're a manufacturing business. We're in the custom t-shirt space. We do screen printing and embroidery. And so during the pandemic, our people were coming to work all the time in a manufacturing environment. And as a way to kind of say thank you, we just wanted to do something nice for them. At the beginning of the pandemic, there was a lot of uncertainty. And we just wanted to say, hey, look, you guys have been coming to work and, we don't always know what's going to happen. And we appreciate your resilience. And so we said, you know what, we're just going to give away a cash bonus. And so we decided to give away $30,000, which to us was just like, and we're small business. We have 130 people. So some people might not think it's so small, but it started with just me. So I think of it as a pretty small business. So we're going to give away $30,000. And so we go down the floor, we get everybody together, we make the announcement. Everybody's just like cheering and they're just so excited. And I think all of our full-time people got $500 and our part-time people got $250. I can't remember exactly. I think that was the ratios. And so everybody was excited, rah-rah. We felt good about it. They felt good about it. And then about 2 years later, Julie and I were working together. And I said, we're having a good year. And, that was so successful last time. Let's do that again. Except this time we're going to give away $40,000. And so I went to one of our most financially responsible employees and I said, hey, remember a couple of years ago when we gave the money away? And he said, yeah, I remember. And I said, how much did you get? Because I couldn't remember the specific amount for each person. And he said, I don't remember. And I'm like, how can you not remember? Like, we gave $30,000 away and you don't even like it. It didn't have an impact. Like, it was exciting in the moment, but it didn't have any impact beyond just however long that lasts. And so I immediately marched down to Julie's office and I said, hey, listen, we're not doing that again. Like, that's out. And I started thinking, we started thinking, what could we do that they would never forget? The cash was forgettable, but I want to do something that they won't ever forget. And then it just struck me, what about Bitcoin? I mean, Bitcoin is this asymmetric bet. I think we can invest in Bitcoin, give it a vesting period. So like we chose 5 years. So we made an investment in 2022, 23 and 24, and we just made a 5-year vest. So if you stay 5 years, you get it. And it doesn't cost you anything. We made the investment, you stay. And if it goes way up, congratulations, you won't forget the number. And if it doesn't, you know, you're not out anything. You've worked at a good place for however long you've been here. And so we made a commitment to invest $120,000 total. So 40, 40, and 40. And because of the way the price went down at the end of 22, we decided to invest all of it in 2022, but we allocated it for years 22, 23, 24. In fact, we just re-upped for another year because now we're at the end of 24. It's like, well, what about people who get hired next year? Mm-hmm. How do we sell them on it? And so we made another commitment to do another 40,000 for 2025, which will vest in 2030. So that's kind of the genesis of the program.
Yeah, but we did it in mining. So that was the other caveat too, is that we decided to mine. And so that's how we started with 4 miners, and then the price dipped. So we bought 2 coins
to kind of sweeten the pot. When the price dipped so low, we just bought coins. Mm-hmm. And then we made with the other 40. So we did 40, 40, and 40. And then with the last 40, because the price of Bitcoin had come down, we were able to get 6 miners, and they were more powerful than the 4 we had bought originally. So we've got 10 miners, and kind of the value of the mining really kind of went to me. I just personally wanted to know how to mine. And, you know, I was big into Bitcoin, all the podcasts, listen, do all the reading, but I didn't know anything about the mining. I thought, well, we'll mine for the employees. And as kind of a side benefit, I'll learn about mining. You know, that just gives me more to talk about. And so, so we mine right here on location. And actually that kind of turned out to be a blessing in disguise because, you know, Bitcoin can be kind of this magical, mysterious internet money that you can't see, you can't touch, you can't hold. But the miners made it tangible. You know, they can hear those things. They can see them. They can feel the heat coming off the back of them. And so that's a reminder every day that, hey, we're doing this Bitcoin benefit for
you. It's happening. That and the scoreboard or the screen that we have in our production facility that shows the value of Bitcoin and then what their share would be or what we estimate it to be. So, you know, we always just think people play different when you're keeping score. And so that's our way to keep score and so they could see it. But, you know, at the beginning, like Mike said, it's a lot of money for us even at that point. And we didn't get the rah-rah cheers when we told them we were investing in Bitcoin like we did in cash. We haven't talked about that before, but no one was cheering. Everyone actually was kind of giving us the side eye. It was very skeptical. And we was very upfront with them that this may not work. Mike's like, I this could be completely wrong. It may go to zero, but if it did, you aren't out any of your personal capital. So we just had to kind of make one of those decisions that you were doing something that was good for everybody, even if they didn't agree with it. But they did have a huge reward at the end if it works out.
Yeah. And I think that's important because I told you 2 years after we did that cash, the guy couldn't remember the amount. Well, we've been 2 years now since we invested the 120, and that 120 is now worth 411. And we still have about 5 years of mining left. So there's, you know, that we haven't even used up the useful life of the miners. And so, you know, our employees can see that. It's like that money that we gave away 4 years ago, it just vanished, you know. But now this money that we've invested on their behalf, it has more than tripled and continues to grow. And they're not having to share it with people that aren't committed to our company, right? You got to be somewhat loyal to get it. So it's just, it's better all around for everybody.
Yeah. Cause when we gave it that cash, someone could have quit the next week and they took the cash with them. You know, there wasn't any commitment, or they could have left in the next 6 months. But here, the people who will get the payouts are people who have been here for at least 5 years or more. So they've had share sweat equity in it, at least.
There's so much here that I want to unpack. And there are a lot of listeners are like, miners, if you've got people there with picks and shovels, they got no idea what this is about. Right? So I want to dive into that.
That's
I want
a different to dive part into of our business.
This. What's that?
I said, that's a different part of our business, the picks and shovels.
Right, exactly. So there's so much there that I want to dive into. And I also want to dive into the details of how your staff responded, because most people are not Bitcoiners. Most people's perception, I'm still shocked when I start raving on like I'm a crazy Bitcoiner and people are like, dude, it's just internet money. It's for drug dealers and all this. It's still a big thing, right? So I can imagine the very lackluster response you got. But what I want to tie right away up front for just the business people listening to this, I want to talk about the business problem that you solved, because when you're on with Pomp, you talked about churn in your business. So you've got 130 employees. It's a manual labor type of role in Kentucky, right? So, you know, they're probably not being insulted, but they're not like university graduates who stick in jobs. Oh. You've got high turnover. How can you speak to like the benefits, aside from the money, the benefits to you as a business that it's had with educating? Because I know you have education programs in your business as well, where perhaps for the first time in their lives, they're getting basic financial education. They possibly have never invested in anything before. And now you're kind of educating them. You're showing the benefits of investing. And if you could talk a little bit about that side of it, like what that's done to employee morale, what that's done to churn, and the economic impact to your business of not having employees churning. Like, what was your churn rate? How did it impact? And then we'll talk about Bitcoin a bit more in the real world side of that.
Yes. So you are correct. 130 employees, many, I would say 80% of them do not have college education, or if they do, they're not using it in their current role. We train everybody from the ground up as far as the skills in production. And you're right. Many of them hadn't invested anything. Most importantly, they hadn't invested in themselves before. So this kind of gave us many angles to take. So one, we were trying to teach people just some forward thinking, some delayed gratification, watching things, you know, grow. But the other thing is we were having an issue with turnover. And so the year I think that we started really looking at it, we had 100% turnover, but that did not mean 100% of our positions turned over. It meant half of our positions were turning over more than once per year. And it was just a killer one to our culture. I mean, people, you just see people come and go. They wouldn't be here long enough to get to know their name, much less anything about them. Mistakes in our work. I mean, when you order custom shirts with your business logo on it, you want it to be the right color. You want it to be centered, you know, right shirt. So just mistakes there. It would take us longer to do the work. And so that's part of the vesting too, is that we wanted to hold on to people and the good people. And so what it's done is in 2 years now, it was 2 years back in June. So we've reduced our turnover to 47%.
I thought we just got the number last week and it was 27.
It's lower.
I'm pretty sure it came out last week. We talked to our HR person and it was down to 27, because on the Palm podcast, I said it's under 50. And I was like, oh my goodness, it's actually under 30%, which is just a giant change.
Huge increase. Yeah. And so what that means is, like, this year we've produced more orders than ever. We're having a great year as far as sales. Our revenue is the highest it's ever been, but we're able to meet that demand. So in the past, even if we were having a good year, we would get behind on orders. We would have a ton of overtime, even mandatory overtime. This year, we've only had one day of mandatory overtime. And that's just never happened in the history of Blue Cotton. And so we attribute that to having kept people here longer. There's more tribal knowledge, if you will, and just skilled people who know how to do the job effectively and efficiently and get it out to the customer in time. So that also is just a huge play for our culture as well. I mean, when you're working alongside people who can do the job well, you know their name and you know probably something about them outside of work, it's just a better place to come to work every day. We're all here with our coworkers more than we're with our own family. And so you want that to be an enjoyable place where you're doing meaningful work. And we feel like we offer all those things. So this really started catching on. And Mike has a great story of proof that it's catching on, that people are staying here as one of the reasons for this.
Yeah, and I'll relay that in just a second. But, you know, to answer the question for some of your business owners that are listening, you know, two things. One, it starts with investing in your people. Like it's not just, I'll go buy some Bitcoin and give it to them and set it and forget it. Like, there has to be a decision. We made a decision a couple of years ago to take the transactional part out of the employer-employee relationship. Like, for a long time, I just thought, can people just come to work, do the work, we pay them, then they go home? Like, can we just do that? And we realized a few years ago, that's not the way humans work. Humans are relational people. Like, we don't want to just have a transaction. We want to have a relationship with our people, and we have a connection with our employees. And so we started thinking, what are things we can do to really enhance their lives? So for the business owners that are listening that maybe aren't Bitcoin, you know, savvy, it starts by just caring for your people. That was number one. And we just thought, well, one way to do that is Bitcoin. And so, as Julie already talked about, you know, our turnover went down, our number of days of overtime went down, our, you know, the quality scores to our customers went up. It's just, and look, we did not do it for those reasons. We did it to just help our people. In fact, we had a conversation. Look, we're going to invest more in our people. And if our people end up leaving to go somewhere else, we're going to celebrate that. But like, this is not we didn't do this to say, hey, this is an underhanded way to get more retention. We did it to just help our people. And we've been rewarded with a more engaged workforce. And it has had a big, big impact here.
What's the story? I know there's a story there. I heard it on the POM podcast that, you know, Mike, you said that you were validated out there in the real world, in the wild. Can you just share that? Because retention of good people is such a big issue, and to genuinely have your employees wanting to show up and to be engaged in what you're trying to shoot for here is a huge achievement. So could you just talk about that validation proof?
Sure. My wife was, I mean, look, we live in a small town. We have about 135,000 people in our county. And we always talk about, we have a real business with real people in a real small town. And my wife went to get her hair done, you know, just like happens in, you know, thousands of times all over the world. And she's sitting there in her chair, and next to her, she hears this lady that she doesn't know. And this lady doesn't know that Becky is my wife, that she's connected to Blue Cotton. And this lady is talking about this company that she works for. She was like, yeah, I work for this company called Blue Cotton, and they give Bitcoin to their employees. And I was actually going to retire and go to Florida. She has some family down there. She's not really of retirement age, but she was going to make a change. And she said, you know what? But once they started this Bitcoin, and she couldn't really explain it, but she just said, I'm not going to leave until I get my share. Like, I was going to leave, but now I'm not going to leave. And I just think that speaks to, like, we talked about turnover went down, retention went up. We're keeping people that otherwise would have made a choice to do something else because they feel like they have a stake in something.
Well, they do.
And you and I, Adam, believe this is the hardest asset in the world, right? Now, she could not talk to you about what Peter Schiff says about Bitcoin or what MicroStrategy is doing with Bitcoin or what BlackRock's doing with Bitcoin. She wouldn't even know what an ETF is, but she knew that there was this equity, right? This thing that she could have that meant something to her. And she sees the value of it going up and up and up. And so it's causing real people to make different decisions. It's affecting this great technology that Satoshi came up with. And who know if he ever knew that it would impact people in this practical of a way. Here's a lady that doesn't know much about the technology, but she knows it's going to enhance her life. And she's willing to say, you know what? I'm going to put off this other thing because if I stay here, I can get more value. And I just think it's like this great story. So my wife finally looks over and goes, do you work at Blue Cotton? And the lady's like, yeah. And she goes, well, my husband is Mike. And then they had a big laugh, you know.
I mean, this is so powerful. And this is what caught me about the story when I heard it, because you're right. I don't think Satoshi or those early advocates for Bitcoin ever really thought of the impact that it would have in small business, because, you know, it's all about alignment of incentives, right? So when you've got your employees turning up every day, and we'll get the image from you and overlay it in the video here, but, you know, they see that big TV screen I assume it's where they walk in and walk out, or somewhere in the warehouse where they can see it, and they see $411,000. And there'd be people in that factory that are going, guys, not that long ago, that number was $100,000, you know. And have you seen this Michael Saylor video where he's talking about $13 million a coin as a bear case? So it's sort of like they're going, hang on, how many coins are up there? And they're, you know, the sort of internal dialogue, they start thinking, hang on, there's four coins here. If they're going to go to $13 million a coin, that's like $60 million potentially between the people standing in this factory. It's and that's not you saying it. This is the YouTube and the market and BlackRock and all these vectors and narratives that are happening. Is that happening internally, this sort of like chatter between and this excitement between your employees as they get educated?
Yeah, you think they'll forget that number, Adam?
No, they certainly will not.
They're not going to forget that number. And you know, we do these classes twice a week. We have two groups of people. It's just kind of a personal development classes. And we just did a whole couple months on financial wellness. And we talked about financial discipline and investing and compounding. I just went through lots of things. You know, a lot of our people, maybe they didn't grow up in a household where financial responsibility was important or a focus.
Or discussed.
And so we thought, you know, in addition to just like the Bitcoin, we talked about investing. So we're just like investing and trying to level these people up. And I told them, I said, how many people in here think you're going to be a millionaire one day? And I had two classes. Each class got about 20 people in it. And I would say maybe, and from the first class, maybe about 10 people raised their hands. And from the second class, maybe about six. And I looked at them and said, look, you guys are young. You guys are good at what you do. And you're in a class about development, about getting better. So you tell me why you can't be a millionaire. And then, so I started going through it. And then I pointed out to the monitor and I said, I'm hoping to make you a millionaire just on the Bitcoin initiative. You know, if Saylor's case is right, and that's Saylor's like base case is 13 million, right, in 21 years. If that's right, and who knows if it will be, I think we'll have six coins by the time we get finished mining. You know, that's, what is it, 13, 26? That's, I can't do the math. Is that
88 million or 78 million or something crazy?
Yeah. 78 million divided by 60 people. Now look, that's not happening today. I'm not telling them that that's what's going to happen. But when I said earlier, it's an asymmetric opportunity. It could happen.
Mm.
And it's not going like the zero. When I introduced this to them, I mentioned zero as a possibility. A zero to me is gone. Like
yes.
The possibility for zero is gone. In fact, I read a tweet recently that was funny that said, hey, it's never going to zero because I put a buy order in at one penny for all 21 million coins. So it can't go to zero. I thought that was kind of funny. It's an asymmetric bet. And so, yes, an answer. I was a long answer to get to your question. Yes, people are talking about it. They're asking me, hey, how do I buy Bitcoin? Like, I see that you've got it for me. Like, you've opened my eyes to it. How do I go get it? How much should I get? What? This, that, the other. And so it gives us a launching point to talk to them about their future, right?
When we started on that day,
we said, we want to teach you to think long-term. We want to teach you to weather the ups and downs of the market. And now, you know, we're getting that opportunity and it thrills us.
Yeah, I would say though, it was 2 years of us constantly preaching it. So I think that's, you talk about business owners, like maybe if you did it today, I was going to say, I wouldn't expect to implement something like this and get like pats on the back, but today you probably would. I just think that we had to constantly be reminding them that it was a benefit, even though the board was in the production facility. And then we have monthly all employee meetings and Mike's always like, hey, the value last month was this and now it's this. And now, so it's like, it's starting to get more traction now, but it is like, it's a commitment on the business owner to not just set it and forget it, but to constantly remind them of the benefit that they're getting. And you always have to relate to how does it affect them individually, not just as a whole or the world or Bitcoin as, you know, as what it is, but how's it going to affect them? And so that's part of the humanizing of the employee, and that removing that transactional experience is understanding like where their struggle is, what their dreams and goals are, and being able to relate it to them in that way.
Yeah, it's a leadership commitment, really, on your part. It's not just, hey, guys, here's money that you're going to get if you stay. It's talking about the values of Bitcoin, I suspect, of hard money and a fair way to store your time that you're giving to us as a company. If you want to save in a more effective asset, we can talk about that in a minute. I think that the great thing about Bitcoin is when you start pulling on the thread and people start to get educated, they start to understand it's a really ethical, honest human technology. And that surprises a lot of people. They come for the money, but they stay for the humanity and they stay for the much deeper sort of borderline spiritual, you know, aspect of it, where, you know, our money's broken. And this is a way for people to not have broken money. But I'm interested for people to just sort of better understand mining, because I know I don't know how to mine. I have become more curious more recently. I don't run a node, but I've become more curious. So can you just explain to people what a Bitcoin mine is? Because when they think of it, they have really no idea. And when they do think about it, they might think of like big multinational companies rather than a small business that's bought some mining rigs that have set up on display in the business. That's got to be fascinating for your employees watching you install these things. Hang on a second, money comes out of those? Like, can you just talk to us about what mining is, how much it costs you to set up, how you get money from the investment in the mining, and what kind of ROI that is?
Sure. I like to start by just using an illustration. You know, everybody understands the idea of mining for gold, right? It takes bulldozers and drills and picks, and it takes labor, and it takes trucks and fuel and energy, and like all those things go into to finding a gold mine and digging it out of the ground. That's what mining for gold is. Mining for Bitcoin, it's the same thing, except you don't use bulldozers and picks and shovels. You use these computers. They're ASICs, Application Specific Integrated Circuits, ASIC, and ASIC. It's a fancy phrase, but it's just a desktop. It just looks like a desktop computer. And we bought them. We actually bought them. I think we bought the first batch from an American company, bought the second batch from a company in Hong Kong. And then you just, you know, it sounds hard to do. It's really not that hard. We bought them. We had to hire some electricians because they do take special plugs. Like, they don't plug into your regular home outlet. Had to hire some electricians to come in and run some circuits back to our electrical panel. And then you simply just plug them in. There's no monitor. Like, there's no like logging in and learning to do this and then do that. You plug them in, you connect them to the internet, and they're application specific. So the computers know what to do. They immediately join the Bitcoin network. They start verifying the transactions. They start solving those complicated math questions. And then they aim to get a reward. The only difficulty was trying to decide, where are we going to point these things? You know, we could mine on our own. It's a little risky because, you know, we've got 10 miners going up against the world's mining capacity. You know, what are the odds we're going to catch the reward when we add the block to the blockchain? So we joined a mining pool. And the one we joined is called Clover Pool. And so we basically just send our mining power to Clover Pool. And every time Clover Pool wins the block reward, we get our percentage, a prorated percentage of what we contributed. And I'm sure there's probably thousands and thousands of people sending their hashing power to Clover Pool. And so, as you know, as your audience probably knows, or maybe they don't know, about every 10 minutes, a block of data gets added to the Bitcoin blockchain. And the mining network is verifying all that data during those 10 minutes. And when that block gets added, the reward for adding the block is Bitcoin. That's the block reward. And so, you know, when it started, you got 50 coins. Every 10 minutes, there's 50 coins. And every 4 years, that number gets cut in half. People have heard of the halving. And so now we're at a point in history where when you add a block, you get 3.125 coins. So whenever Clover Pool wins the block, we get our share of that. So when we started, Adam, we were getting about 1% of a coin every 3 days. But back then, the hash rate was about 170. Now it's almost 800. Mm. Back then, the difficulty adjustment was 27. Now the difficulty adjustment's like 103. There's been a halving. So now we're getting about a 0.5% of a coin every 7 days because there's just been so much demand coming to mine. And so the way Satoshi set it up was the more people that came, the more difficult he had to make it because they want a block to be added about every 10 minutes. And so we're not getting as much as we were, But the value of the coin has gone way up. So our only inputs were the cost of the machines and the cost of the electricity to run them.
And so how much were the machines, just out of interest, ballpark?
So this was kind of strange to me, but the Bitcoin mining machines are somewhat dependent on the price of Bitcoin. That I don't understand. Wow. To me, like, it only costs X amount to make a machine. Why should the machine be priced based on the price of Bitcoin? But when we first bought the machines, we got 104 terahash. That's like the power measurement. And they were $8,500 each. So we bought four of them for $36,000. I told you we were going to invest 40. We bought four of them for $36,000. It cost a little bit of money to build a closet for them and to have the electricians come hook it up. So we invested about 40 grand total. Then when the Bitcoin price dropped a few months later, you know, we started in summer of 2022. Well, as you will remember, by Christmas of 2022, you know, we were down the drain in terms of price, which was an early win for our employees to have to stomach, you know, to see the decline. But that's part of the process. Anyway, when we made our next purchase, we were able to get, for the same $36,000, I was able to get six machines that were 135 terahash. So they're actually about 35% more powerful, and we got two more of them. And so that gave us 10 total. So we got all 10 of them running in a closet, and each one of them sounds about like a vacuum cleaner. So think of 10 vacuum cleaners in a closet. That's what they sound like.
Wow.
It's pretty noisy. You know, we're in a big warehouse manufacturing facility, so they don't really hear it.
So just stripping away, there was a lot of technical stuff in there but if you spend 100 grand, how long until you get your payback on the 100 grand in Bitcoin, roughly?
Well, the miners, I've been told, will have a mining life of about 5 to 7 years. Mm-hmm. So ours has been going for 2.5 years. They run 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. They never turn off. They never have any problems. Every now and then a fan will overheat and we'll go in and reset it. But for the most part, there's not much maintenance to them. They just run. In terms of the payback, now a miner that's in it for profit would know more about the payback. We're donating all this to our employees. So I did run some electrical calculations at the very beginning. And I think we were spending about 30. I can't remember how much we were spending a month in power, but we have such an enormous business with all this equipment. We haven't even noticed a change in the power bill. I want to be clear to your audience. They do use power. Yeah. We haven't noticed it because it's such a small amount of the power that we're consuming overall. But if you started from scratch, you would notice that the power bill went up. So I can't give you an ROI because we donated the equipment. And I say donated. We gave the equipment to the employees and we give them the power.
Yeah. All right. So we'll move on from that because it's probably a bit technical for most of the audience. But another way to do it would just be to buy Bitcoin and show it Absolutely. Up on the screen and you can see it. What I'd be interested in chatting to you about is just like the real world, like what's played out in your business from the employees. So the first time you announce it, they would have just been like, you're giving us this fake money? Like, what was the journey and what is the discussion like now inside the four walls of your business when they see price go up? Like, what has been the evolution of that journey for your employees and what advice would you have for business owners who are considering, you know, getting the world's hardest money, putting some money into it, letting it compound at the best compound rate of any asset in the last 15 years? Like, what's the journey for them?
Yeah, to your first point, you don't have to mine. You can just buy the coins. That'd be much simpler than the mining. Right. Just buy coins on behalf of your employees. You know, look, they were very skeptical. You know, I walked down on the floor in 2020 and I gave away $30,000 in cash and they just roared. And then I go down on the floor 2 years later and I say, we're going to invest $120,000, four times the amount, in Bitcoin, and you're going to be eligible to get it in 5 years. And they just looked at me like, I don't even know what this guy's talking about.
Mike, that speaks.
A very weak clap.
It wasn't much.
Low clap. You know,
like, it's like an obligatory clap.
Yeah.
Like,
back then we probably had 110 people and two or three of them knew what that meant. Like two or three of our people were into Bitcoin. You know how it is. You every now and then you do meet somebody that's into it. You know, we don't meet enough people to do it, but a couple of people understood it. But most people just looked at me like I was just like I had two heads.
It's financially.
And that's challenging. Where I think it goes back to what Julie said. It takes so much education. We have to talk about it all the time. Yeah. And then immediately the price goes down. And so it's like, I'm like, oh man, I wanted it to like be this big splash. But you got to have a long-term, you know, we got to have a low time preference, right? You want a low time preference, or is it high? I can't remember. I always get the confused high time preference, low time preference, but you got to have a long-term view. And now we're 2.5 years in. And so just last week, you know, after the pump video or a pump podcast, I've had a lot of people reach out to me like you from all over the world. And it's made me think, I'm going to go down and grab some random people, stand in front of that monitor and see if they can explain it to me. And I grabbed a few people, and frankly, they were not as educated on it as I thought they would be. Although they do understand, like all the numbers on there are white, except there's one green number. That's the total. And they do understand that part is mine. They don't understand the 27, the 28, the 29. They don't understand the mining. They don't understand that the mining number goes up as well as the price goes up. But they do understand that that green number belongs to them. And right now that green number shows about $6,500 or $7,000. And it used to show, literally 2 years ago at Christmas, it showed 600. You know, so it's gone up 10 times in 2 years. And they've seen it go up rapidly, you know, since the beginning of November. So there was a lot of skeptics. But as they see the number go up and as we continue to educate, the skeptics are getting fewer and the believers are growing. And that was another part of this for me, Adam, was I'm all about I want Bitcoin to be adopted. And so like when we cash these out, we're not giving them money. We're giving them Bitcoin. You know, we're going to give them the asset that is so valuable. And so, so the skeptics are becoming fewer. And I mean, now it's hard to be a skeptic anymore. I mean, and plus I say to you, why would you be a skeptic? This is yours. Like we got this for you. Like we could have given you $1,000 2.5 years ago, but now you got seven.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. I think the other thing too, is that we are, I would say we are a Bitcoin company. So we have Bitcoin on our balance sheet. We accept Bitcoin as payment. And then we also do this for employees. So just trying to really show them the full circle of it, that we're all in on it. But going back to the point earlier of just like financial education, I mean, we still have some people here who don't quite get the 401k and the match that we do give, because we also participate in the normal employee benefits and retention type efforts there too. So it's one, us just really understanding the knowledge or lack of knowledge in any type of just investment like that, and then getting down to the people who want to do it. But the two groups that we've talked about are highly engaged. They represent about a third of our workforce. And that group's also very influential in the rest of the workforce. So their excitement for it, we hope, and we've seen it, does bleed on to other people. We have weekly reports. We're starting to see Bitcoin mentioned in their weekly reports a little bit more when they tell us like the high for the week or just like little things there. So it's starting to be talked about more. And then for that, we hope leads to more understanding of it and then more excitement of it. And then now we're starting to see people invest their own personal dollars into it.
Yeah. For all you Aussies listening and Kiwis, 401k is superannuation in the US. I was there I had a company in the US for 5 years, and employee benefits is a huge part of recruiting. In Australia, it's sort of mandated what you've got to give, but in the US, it's kind of really competitive. So that's cool. So, Julie, were you a Bitcoin nut like Mike as well at the start, or has Mike turned you into a Bitcoin nut?
Mike is working very hard to turn everyone into Bitcoiners. So I would say I'd heard of it and just crypto in general, and I had not invested any of my own. I mean, the company, like I said, it was on our balance sheet. I was supportive of it. I mean, Mike, put a lot of trust in him. He's always looked out for the business and made good decisions. So I feel like if he had vetted it, that I felt good enough about supporting it, even though I knew it could go to zero at the time. But I think the bigger thing is we like to be an innovative company. We're in e-com. We're not necessarily a technology company. We're heavily production, but we want to be innovative and on the front end of things. And I just kind of thought that was a way to get our people more involved. And it was we had the ability to lose that money more than our people have the ability to lose the money, if that makes sense. So I was supportive in the investment, and so far it's working out for us.
So it's not, I mean, it's not a super small business, 130 employees, a decent business that you've got going on there. Could you just maybe talk, either of you, to like what it means when you say it's on our company's balance sheet? Like, people hear that with big companies, like Tesla's got it on their balance sheet. But for smaller businesses, like, does that just mean that the company buys Bitcoin into the company's wallet? And if so, how much of your, you know, balance sheet as a percentage do you put into Bitcoin?
Yeah, we like to try to sound fancy, like MicroStrategy, you know.
Everyone can be MicroStrategy.
We throw that balance sheet term around to make it sound really cool. You know? But it's just what you said. It's just, all that means is we took cash, right? So every business has, or at least you hope, every business got cash. We had cash in our bank account. We always kept an adequate amount to meet all of our existing obligations, payroll, expenses. And there was always enough cash left over. I finally told Julie one day, I said, you know what, we got this cash and it's not earning anything. Why don't we just buy Bitcoin with that cash? So that's all it means. So it's just like, you know, we have our regular bank account and then we just took some of that money and we bought Bitcoin. And, you know, that's actually, we did that in 2020. We made our biggest purchase in 2020. And so, or 2021, I think. And so, you know, that's grown pretty good. I mean, we have a certain amount of just like fixed assets, that, you know, all of our equipment, and the Bitcoin now is probably worth a third of all the assets that we have that we've acquired over the last 30 years, you know? So it's,
wow,
it's growing. And in some ways, like, look, none of your listeners will be our customers, so this is not a plug for us, but, you know, we want to grow a business as good as we can, make it as valuable as we can. And I assume one day we'll sell the business, or we'll sell it to our employees, or somebody will come along after us. But the Bitcoin itself, it's got the opportunity to be more valuable than all the hard work that we've put into it, you know, over these last years.
Yeah, I've experienced that personally. I started off with a small allocation of like 2 or 3%. Then I allocated a bit more to like 5%. And of my personal net worth, and now it's grown to like over maybe 30%, right? Like, just because it just grows. And all of a sudden you're like, whoa, I was early on MicroStrategy, thankfully, and that also played into it. But, you know, Mike, maybe either of you could talk. I mean, I'd really be interested in, like, what other benefits has Bitcoin brought you that surprised you? Like, for example, like, Pomp always says, you know, people who align with Bitcoin, there's benefits. I imagine after that Pomp interview, your world may have opened up in different ways and connected with different people. Do you go to Bitcoin conferences? What other impact has Bitcoin had on your lives as people and as business owners?
Yeah, well, I mean, since the podcast, you know, we've met a lot of people. I've probably done a dozen Zoom calls. You're the second podcast. We're also doing a podcast for somebody in England in a couple of weeks. So I've got to meet some of the just the most interesting people. You know, sometimes, Adam, as you got a lot of business owners listening to your show, and, you know, look, it's not like as business owners every day people just cheer you on, right? It's not like you walk into work every day and there's a parade to celebrate how great you are. A lot of times it's frustrating. You know, you put your blood, sweat, and tears into something. You take risks. There's uncertainty. There's customers that get upset with you. There's, you know, people get angry. There's this, that, and the other. And, you know, it's not like a constant parade of you're the best. But since doing this, I've met some of just the most quality people. And so it just gives me so much faith that, you know, there are really so many good people out in the world trying to solve problems, trying to take care of customers and take care of their employees. The number of people that have reached out to me that said, you know, I've got a company and we're a bakery, or we're a hotel and a restaurant, or I have a hair salon and I want to take care of my people. And when you meet those people, man, it just makes you feel great to know there are a lot of really good, honest, hardworking people out there that just want to make the biggest impact that they can. And, you know, when you walk into work every day, there's not just a list of those things waiting for you at the door. Usually there's a list of problems waiting at the door. And so you kind of get inundated with that. So I would just say that for me, Bitcoin has introduced me to some of really the most amazing people. And you asked how I went to the conferences. I never went to any conferences until this year. It was in Nashville. Nashville is only 1 hour from where we live. And so I went down to Nashville, and that's kind of how this got started, because I told a few people about what we were doing, and they said, man, you need to get that story out in the public. Like, people need to hear about what you're doing, because, you know, the Bitcoin community, as you know, we can sit around, we can wax poetic about ROI and about price and about cycles and halvings and Satoshi this and, you know, all these things. But I want real people. I want people to benefit from it. They don't have to understand every aspect of it. And that's really what we did. We just said, look, we got real people out here. They're getting killed by inflation, slaughtered by inflation. They're getting hammered by government policies that maybe they don't even understand. Maybe they're even voting for them because they don't quite understand them. But they don't have a lot of assets. And when you don't have assets and you just have an hourly wage, you're getting killed by inflation. And I just want to give a chance to fight back. Like, can we just give regular people a chance to fight back? And that's what Satoshi intended. He intended for people to, like, take control of their own finances. You know, don't be subject to third parties and don't let governments debase you. Just hold an asset that doesn't force you to go so far out on the risk curve to protect your time and energy. And we talk about that to our employees. I spent a long time about 2 weeks ago. I did a whole class just on time and energy. And my point was, look, we're born with those two things. We're born with time and we're born with energy. We got about 80 years worth of time. And we might have 80 years worth of energy if it exhausts at the end of our life. But if we're able to exchange our time and energy for an asset like Bitcoin, then we could actually project our energy beyond our life, right? We can put our earnings into something that will go forward to benefit future generations, future people. And so my time might be 80 years, but I might be able to create enough energy to impact people for 150 years or 200 years. And we're preaching that to our people and saying, look, you're going to come here and exchange time and energy every single day. Exchange it for something that can propel you forward for a long time, that can impact not just you, but maybe the people that come after you. Like, let's make a difference in the lives of people. That's where it really started. That's where we're trying to be focused. Bitcoin is just this tremendous technology, this tool to help us get people there more quickly.
I will say, are people understand that too, though? Because a couple of, maybe it's been 5 years ago now, we were trying to figure out how to motivate our team. And like, many people can be motivated with money, right? That's really kind of, as business owners, that's what you go to first, like, oh, if you can pay them more. But what we found, our people were more motivated by time, and really it's ownership of their time. So if they could get paid a certain amount, they're okay with a certain amount as long as they could have more of their time. So the illustration of time and energy really speaks to them, because at the end of the day, they want control of that time. And so what can they do for the most bang in that amount of time too? But can I tell a story about you?
I guess.
Yes, like the thing that happened the most. So we had the interview with Pomp on a Friday, and Tuesday of that same week, Mike came in just down in the dumps, and he was like, you know what? I don't even know why I talk about Bitcoin anymore. No one cares. It's not affecting anyone. And then 3 days later, we're on Pomp, and then he's connected with all these people around the world. So I just think that we're big connectors.
Lifted my spirit.
I've
got a new energy.
And listen, that benefits all of us. So, but I do think just we're connectors just in life. Like, we love connecting with people. We love connecting with our customers, with our employees. And so just finding a community that is like-minded and business owners too, that's been really helpful. Not just people that you could talk to Bitcoin about, but people who are also in the trenches of business. And so that you can relate those two things. And so finding a new community in that way, I think, has been very encouraging. And it's also something we can come back to our team and tell them, like, hey, there's other people out there trying to do what we're doing. And just to show that it's not just a number on the scoreboard. Like, there's a lot of people out there, believing in the
same thing. It gives real momentum. Mm-hmm. It really does.
It does, you know, and that's one of the things that I love about the Bitcoin community, is that there's a lot of very smart people there, but they're also very good people who understand deeply what you've just talked about. We had a Bitcoin podcast last week, and Peter sort of said, the guy that was the host, Peter Dunworth, he said that people discover Bitcoin when they need to discover Bitcoin, when there's a crisis, something's happened in their life, and they really get to the pointy end of everything that's wrong with money, and they start to do the math, or they do the math on their retirement, and they understand what inflation like is, and you know, going to work and then getting this fiat dollars and putting it in the bank account. This idea that if you just apply a 4.5% inflation rate to 100 years, that $100 you earned is worth $1.18. So that's what you're talking about. It's not. It's like a leaky battery. You've exchanged it for something that's faulty and broken. In 100 years, you may as well have not have worked at all. It's not stored safely. Whereas when you put it in something like a hard asset, it's there and into the future and growing. And it's a complete mind shift for people that takes a minute. And people say, well, it has no use case. And I'm like, well, what about storing your life's energy? Is that not a use case? And securing it with the largest decentralized network, people like you guys that are securing the network, it is bigger than nuclear reactor power. It's like the most powerful computer network in the world securing it. And that's why there'll never be another Bitcoin, because it's there's only one, and they'll never be disrupted. You come up with a little fork or a distinction, but then you got to build so many other things. So yeah, it's a really fascinating thing. And I knew when you announced your email address at the end of the Pomp podcast, you said, hey, reach out to me, I knew you'd respond, because I know Bitcoiners, because they're people who genuinely, like, you're not selling anything here. You're not trying to make them buy stocks in anything. You're not selling anything. You're just trying to say, hey, shine a light over here and have a look and see what happens. Yes, it does go up. And like Pomp says, everybody joins for the money, but they stay for reasons much deeper than that. And you need to be curious and pursue it. Anything else you'd like to say before we wind this one up to business owners, employees, or whatever out there?
Yeah, I'll relay one story from the people that contacted me. So like the day before Thanksgiving, that's a holiday, big holiday in America. The day before Thanksgiving, I probably spent 6 hours just responding to all the emails that I'd got. And I got an email from this guy in England, and he said, hey, I'm a trucker, and my family, we're all truckers. He said, we bought Bitcoin 2017, so we're already millionaires, but we like to truck. And so we just keep driving. He goes, and so I have a podcast in England, and I try to just promote Bitcoin. I just want to educate people about Bitcoin. He said, and I've interviewed all the big names, Larry Lepard, Mark Moss, Natalie Brunell, you know, just on and on and on, all these people that he had interviewed. And he said, but I've never interviewed Pomp. Would you connect me with Pomp? And I thought, well, you know what? I'm trying to get connected to Natalie Brunell. And I just said, if you'll connect me to Natalie, I'll connect you to Pomp. And here's what he wrote back and said, I don't care if you connect me with Pomp or not. I will connect you with Natalie, because I just want to promote Bitcoin. And that describes exactly what you just said. Bitcoiners, they just want to promote and help people. Yeah. And I thought, man, that is so great. And so immediately I just like forwarded his address right to Anthony. And then sure enough, they've had a call. And so like, it feels great that I'm like helping to connect people. Anthony connected me to him. I'm able to connect him back to Anthony. I hope we're able to get on Natalie's Coin Story show. We've been in some email communication, so I'm hoping that will resume, but it's just good people. You meet good people. And like Julie said, business owners trying to do the right thing. It's just been so refreshing, and it's been refreshing to our people. And it's just infused a lot of enthusiasm into our business.
I'm so stoked to have you guys on. And for everybody listening, you know, I want you to just really hear the passion and sincerity from Julie Mike, because, you know, these guys really epitomize my experience with the Bitcoin network. It's not just BlackRock's and people in suits on CNN. They're the latecomers to this. The actual heart and the foundation of Bitcoin has been front run by people like this, like me, like them, small business owners, or you're, in your case, probably a medium business owner, you know, that genuinely are in this space because they're interested in fixing, there's been, you know, our broken money. And I think in one of the gifts that COVID gave us is inflation, because for the first time, people got to experience what that theft really feels like when it's compressed into 3 or 4 years, as opposed to just silently eating away at our life force. And not, you know, everyone, it hurt, but all great things in life come from pain. The birth of a child, starting a business, none of that is pain-free, but they're incredibly rewarding. And I hope that we all take from the lesson of inflation and start our journey towards trying to fix and at least store some of our time and energy in something that's not being deflated, that's not politically controlled, that can't be influenced, no matter how hard they try. And you're still early, in my opinion, and I'm sure you guys agree, just still early. We're still front running nation state adoption. We're still really early in the institutional adoption. But that opportunity, as Michael Saylor says, people get Bitcoin at the price that they deserve. And the only thing between you and being early is really putting in the time and effort to do the work. Go to hope.com, you know, study all those videos there on Michael's free website, discover people like Anthony Pompliano, and soon enough, you'll build yourself an echo chamber of likable nut jobs that are into Bitcoin, and then you're doomed. Would you agree with that assessment?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we appreciate so much being able to talk to you today. I mean, here I am meeting a guy. I never thought I'd meet anybody in Australia. And here we're having a great conversation with you and your audience getting to listen to our experience and hopefully can take some lessons from us. Again, I'll send my email to your guys too. It's mike@bluecotton.com, julie@bluecotton.com. If your listeners have questions, email me. I'll write you back about my experience. I'll answer each one individually. We just want to try to help promote and educate. And at the end of the day, we want to help people. And we just think Bitcoin's a great way to do it. And if we can be of any assistance on your continent, we want to jump in and help.
And if you can get these guys on a pod, guys, to help amplify this story, please do, because that's what it's all about. It's about the sharing of knowledge. And I know that you guys are going to reach an audience here in Australia. Aussies will resonate with your style very well. We're very grounded, former convicts, basically. We love real people down here. We always joke, the British sent us to paradise for punishment. But guys, thank you so much for your time. We really deeply appreciate it. And keep powering. We can't wait to see what the future holds for Blue Cotton and for your employees mostly. It's a new model and I hope it gets adopted more widely. Thank you so much.
Hey there. I hope you enjoyed that episode of Unemployable. If you'd like to watch another episode, just click there.